Good afternoon and welcome to Dr. V's Coaching Corner. I'm your co-host, Alan Wozniak, along with Dr. Veronica De La Rosa. Actually, Dr. V, who is the star of the coaching, Dr. V's Coaching Corner. Good afternoon.
Hello, Alan.
So Dr. V, this is episode 2 in the series that we've self-titled or titled Dr. V's Coaching Corner, and understand that we will continue with the discussions we had in episode 1 around self-confidence.
Yes, let's continue. Remember last time we were talking about the difference between self-confidence and self-esteem, and
yes,
how it is, how it will affect, especially we are targeting this series towards entrepreneurs and business owners.
Right.
So how can being more self-confidence be a competitive advantage for your business?
Good. So what do you want to frame the overview today, or just want to dive right into the next things that you want to talk about?
We will continue just talking about how you can boost your self-confidence and your self-esteem. You might remember that in our last episode, I was saying that when you believe in yourself, you're more likely to take action, to seize the moment, right? We also mentioned that there are 3 reasons why self-confidence leads to success.
Right.
Well, there are more, but we're just going to talk about 3, right, that I consider the most relevant. The first one is that it gives you the drive to start things. The second one is that it gives you the ability to stand up for yourself. And 3, it gives you the ability to say no and to say yes. So we are going to unpack all that. And today we're going to talk about the first one. We're going to talk about the first reason why self-confidence leads to success. And this is because it gives you the drive to start things, especially hard things.
So by contrast, and I don't mean to be the devil's advocate, but it's it gives you the drive to start things. But if you don't have the self-confidence, it means you can't, by definition, you can't start things. And I'm not, you know.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right, Alan. You're absolutely right. And that's what today we're going to be talking about. Why doing hard things makes you more self-confident. And we will end our conversation today with some tips on how you can get more motivated to start hard things.
Good.
So to get, instead of having this vicious circle that you're talking about, we'll turn it into a virtuous circle.
Good. Okay. So hard things. I mean, how do you define? Hard things? Because it's a nuance in our English language, but it's hard, can be difficult or hard or not so easy. So how do you define it? Let's start with that. For me, I mean, maybe that's not what you're used to, but I think
no. That's good, because I actually was going to talk about this, because when something feels hard to you, how can I define a hard thing? It's something that you don't feel like doing, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And why do you feel like doing it? Because it takes you out of your comfort zone.
I like that. Something that takes you out of your comfort zone, because literally that's what it is.
And because it takes you out of your comfort zone, you don't want to feel like doing it.
You know, people migrate to what they're comfortable in, right? So doing something hard or difficult, is that what they say? And you're gone to something really important, because they always say, if it was really easy to do, everyone would do it and no one would make money at it. No one would be successful or no one would get
it. Right. Exactly. And for sure, in some cases, convenience and comfort can be a great thing. But it can also create complacency. It can, this path of least resistance will never make us grow our confidence.
Right.
Like, you just stay there in your comfort zone, you're never going to grow your confidence. This path of least resistance will never help you get better, grow in life, get where you want to be. Because you have to get out of your comfort zone, and that's not easy.
Now, remember, I know you want to go, you've got a lot of topic to discuss, or a lot of issues you want to discuss. But I remember the discussions we had offline, or we had, I think, in our very first chat, you talked about that presentation. I think you had to do a PowerPoint presentation. And it was almost at the pivotal point, I think you'd said, one of those presentations you had done, whether it was in school or.
Yes. Sometimes those are difficult, right? Like, because you are like. I'm thinking of the first time I had to speak in public, for example, it was so hard. It was I by doing hard things, but you repeatedly doing this, it's just things, it's not that they are easy, but they just seem easier to
Yeah.
do. Right? Like I remember I was taking this public speaking classes in high school. And I just ended up there because a friend of mine enrolled, and then she dragged me with her, and then she ended up quitting the class, and I ended up stuck in
And
the
you have
class.
staying in it.
Yeah, I stay in the class, right? So it was a 7 o'clock class, and we had an hour of public speaking. And
So
I remember
seven in the
the
morning or seven at night?
7 in the morning. Yeah,
Wow.
high school. So because it was not a class we had to take. It
Yeah.
was just the one that if you want, you could take it just to kind of. We'll count as arts. So the teacher will start with very simple tasks. He will make us read out loud, and that was it. Writing, and he'll give you a book, and you'll be reading. And everybody was like, "Really? I'm getting up at 6 to be here and just read out loud?" Like if I was in kindergarten, well, like elementary, first, second grade.
Yeah.
But we changed a lot. He started with those things. And then eventually reading was easy, right? We hesitated. We will, you don't speak that clearly when you're reading out loud and it's the first time. But after weeks of practicing,
What an
we'll get better
amazing
at
way,
that.
because that gave you comp. So this is back to comp, like the baby steps,
And we'll
because
help you to be more articulate too.
yes, and think about what you're saying and how
And
you're
see
saying it.
better, exactly, like all those things, right? And I remember the first time I was in university, that one of the teachers had a book, and he's like, "Read a book." And I happened to be in the first row, and he was like, "Oh." He gave me the book, and I start reading, and I start reading. But I was at weeks and weeks of training already in high school,
Crazy.
and he was like, "You read very well," and I'm like, with intonation and everything, but it's because I had those classes. And it was easy, right? But it started being hard. And then he would like us to do some improv there with some speech. He'll give you a topic, and then you just have to, improvise. And it was so hard.
Yeah.
And then eventually you get a hang of it. And those things that were super difficult when we started, by the time we finished after a year, that weren't easy. Like still, standing in front of a crowd and just do a speech, it was difficult, but not reading out loud or things like that. So that is, are those steps that you take? I mean, that might just be a silly example, but I'm thinking of
No,
you.
I think it's a wonderful example, because it literally speaks to someone who doesn't have the self-confidence to do a public presentation. So how would you, that's really stepping back, and how would you say, how would you get them from A to Z, or whatever the, whatever letter gets you to make that public presentation? Well, let's just start with reading some children books, or something really easy and they're
Yeah, it wasn't
comfortable.
a children book, but
No,
it was
but
a
I'm,
little book. But
yeah.
yeah. But yes,
Because you're
that's the way to
coaching,
start.
because this could give you some insights into your coaching when you someone walks into your, when you do the executive coaching and saying, hey, they say I can't do this. So then you probably go back 10 or 5 steps and say, all right, what can you do?
What
So
can you
let's
do
start with that.
exactly?
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know if you remember that in our last episode, I asked you to think about one thing that you've been wanting to do, but for some reason you keep putting off. And you don't have to share with us if you don't feel comfortable, but I will ask you to rate on a scale from 1 to 10, where 10 is, where 1 is not at all, and 10 is, heck yeah, let's do it. Tell us, Alan, how motivated are you to take action on this thing?
Well, I have to admit, I'm not looking for excuses. I was gung ho to do it and think about it. I didn't take the step. I don't think there's anything that I can really burn, kind of burning in me, that I didn't want, I haven't wanted to do, I want to do, I haven't done.
Okay.
But the wet, cold weather, if I,
No.
you know, I just, you know, if most things, if I don't want to do it, it's like, it's a two, right?
Okay. Is
And
it two? Okay.
it would be hard, and I can think, and I promise you gotta tee me up in advance. But when I don't, like, just when I put something off, it's procrastination, right? When you put something off, it's usually a two or three, and
Okay.
it's usually
So
time.
let's work there.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's work in a two or three and just think about anything they're putting off. Like, I'm going to give you an example, which probably relates to what you're saying and the cold weather, right? But for me, what I've been wanting to do, but I've been putting off, is going to the pool at 6:30 a.m. I'm an early bird and I love swimming early in the morning. It's a great way to start my day. You know, it makes me feel energized, makes me feel accomplished. And when I'm doing it consistently, I get stronger and leaner. But oh boy, it's hard, especially in days like today, right? Like we're in Calgary, it's minus 25. So who wants to get out 6 o'clock in the morning and go to the pool? So that's my thing. So let's work with that example for me today, right?
Okay.
And then we will circle back to this at the end. But how motivated I am to do this, I probably will say a 2 in a day like this.
Because you've got to drag yourself out. You got your routine of getting up and it's easy to say, to tell yourself, no, I can wait another day, or no, you know, I do, you know, I'll give you a good example on that side, this fitness, just in fitness, like the New Year's resolutions. I think what people wait for that trigger point, and then the New Year's comes along and it's going to be even harder. I think it's going to be even harder.
Yep. So it's about time for this, right? So we could apply this, you're right, to the New Year's resolutions. So with that in mind, let's talk about why self-confidence gives you the drive to start things. Confident people start things, right? They are not shy about launching a new idea, even when those around there are still hesitate them and taking action. If they're business owners or entrepreneurs and they feel confident, they will search for new clients. They will show up consistently in social media. They will promote their business. They will go out and network. They will look for new growth opportunities. They will go all out because they're feeling confidence, right? Like, but these things are not easy, as we said, right? Like all these things are going to take us out of our comfort zone. That's why we consider them tough.
Yeah.
But confidence comes from doing hard things. Because by doing difficult things and seeing them through to the end, you're proving yourself what you're truly capable of. Have you ever won anything after a hard competition? Then you'll know the feeling.
Yeah. No, it feels good. And oftentimes people, the process, and I've read this recently where they say the process is sort of a, you know, self-confidence. The process is better than the end goal. Like once they accomplish something, the end goal, it's like, you know, the end goal is done, and it's the process really that gets people motivated.
I think it's a process what gets people to grow, right? That you grow by doing the process. But I won't deny that it feels good at the end too.
And it does. But I'm just getting, you know, my example was, I had two examples. One, when I finished my chartered accountant's exam, and it was like, wow, euphoria. And then it was like the dust settled. Like I felt lazy late, you know, the time after, the next year, and not studying. I felt like I needed to study. The second time was really, you know, when the I did an IPO with, I worked with the client. We did an IPO, an initial public offering, and like that build up was amazing. It was boring to work with their work, because they were no longer this energy and all, you know, all gung, you know, all kinds of meetings, and that euphoria of everything, it went just down. And I'm just sharing that because you really brought me to that place. Like, you really work for that and you're motivated because it was that end process, and it's like, whoa. Mm-hmm.
But you see how you grew in the process, but you still felt good. I'm gonna give us that, Alan. Give us that. You feel
I
good.
I can't. There's no doubt, no word of a lie. It was incredible. So, yes.
Yeah. So you get, it's a double win, right? You feel good and you also grow in the process when you're doing these things that are taking you out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
Right? So imagine you want to get to your ideal weight by eating healthier, or you want to feel more energized by exercising twice a week, or you want to get that account that will really propel your business to new heights. If by getting out of your comfort zone, you manage to get that account, I guarantee you will be overwhelmed with confidence. And this can be applied to literally any difficult task that you have to overcome. By doing hard things, you're building self-confidence and self-belief in your ability to do anything.
Can I ask you, in terms of, do you have a client or an example where you've helped somebody? And if you can't think of specific, I know I'm putting you on the spot now, but You know, if someone's walked into you and 6 months later, I mean, we've talked about some of the work you've done and the mentoring work with new immigrants to Canada. Do you have an example you could share? Maybe you want to park that and share it later. But it's just, to me, it's like, wow, this is begging for that. Yeah,
Yes,
we're talking
I
in
see.
generalities, but it's specifically someone
I
you
see with
helped.
many clients, and sometimes they come to me and they feel burned out, or they feel that they need to change jobs, or they feel that they will never be able to get that promotion, right? Like it,
Right.
and at the end of the day, it a lot of it narrows down to lack of self-confidence. So when we start working by, and it's always like doing these exercises, right? Like it, coaching is all about taking action. It's reflection, but it's always taking action. You always have these action items at the end of the sessions that you want to pursue, right? Because
Yeah.
it's because you have to do, because you grow really fast. And that's the whole point, to get to your goal fast. The faster than you will do it on your own, because you have this person coaching you and helping you and guiding you, and
That's true. It's
right?
like if you don't have that something behind it, and I think it's, you asked me what I don't like to want to do is like taxes, for example. I'm an accountant, right? But that putting that off is easy. And why do they have a 30th of April deadline? Is to motivate you to do it, right? In advance, you don't want to do it, but there's a deadline. Deadlines help that, the goals or whatever. But a
Right.
deadline, someone else
So
setting a deadline.
people come to me and they have these goals. And when we start working on self-confidence, which is what I was, one of the things I work on since the beginning,
yeah,
people change. Like people get motivated to do those things that they were putting off. People get motivated to go for that promotion or change job, is they know they're never going to get the promotion there. Or they don't feel so burned out because they feel more confident and doing the work and interacting with their colleagues and supervisors and everybody. So they just feel more comfortable at work. So it really just drips down to everything. That's what I think is a very important topic. And that's what I chose it for the series that
Sure.
we're doing.
What makes you, what, on contrast, what do you think demotivates people? What prevents people from taking that action or doing the hard thing? Because I know it makes them feel uncomfortable, but sometimes you have to do it to go to the next level, from what I'm understanding.
I think most of the times is fear. And sometimes, remember what we were talking last week, that a lot of this is perception.
Yeah.
And it's the way you see things. It's not that reality it is like that, but it is the way you're seeing it. And that's what's preventing you is fear. And sometimes the fear of many things, fear of doing things, fear of how people are going to see you if you go for that
Yeah.
thing. Like a lot of, but I think it narrows down a lot to fear, like of getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. And I
So,
guess what you said it. It in actual fact, the reality is it may not be as bad. Your fear in your head, and it grows and you build it up in your mind. Let's just, I take the push-ups. Like literally, there was a series called, and you've talked about fitness, but it was 100 push-ups in 7 weeks. And you literally don't need 7 weeks. It's not 100 push-ups all at once, but it's a build-up. But most people say, oh, there's no way I can do that. Of course you can't. There's no way I can run a marathon. There's no way I can do that. You know, because in your head, you can't do it. You don't see yourself. I love that. So you keeps you from doing it, the fear.
Yeah, the fear is supposed to keep you, right? Because doing hard things is ultimately what is going to help you reach your goals and become successful in life,
Yes.
whatever your definition of success is, right? I bet that to get there will be some difficult things that you'll have to do.
We used to call it to do the squishy pants. Have squishy pants. You don't want to have those squishy pants because it's uncomfortable, right? I mean, as a child with a baby in his squishy diapers, right? Literally, that's that because it is, it's uncomfortable. And that, so you don't want to have the squishy pants feeling. I'm going to give you a simple.
And I want to just clarify here that when I'm talking about doing these hard things
Yeah.
and this toughness mentality, I'm not talking about this bravado that hides any sign of weakness, right? I'm talking about how doing hard things can build a quiet self-confidence, but one that is based on real facts.
Right.
But that isn't all. So doing hard things can help you to boost your self-confidence, but also can help you to grow as a person, to build more determination and focus, and to remind yourself that you're in charge. And of course, all that boosts your self-confidence, right? So another virtuous circle, which is cool.
But you, you know, back to that euphoria, you mentioned, you know, you feel good. There's mm-hmm. that sort of, you know, there's a chemical that happens, and I'm not the scientist or anything, but there's that, you know, the adrenaline rush that goes through
dopamine,
your body.
Yeah.
The dopamine. Yeah. And, you know, that goes through. So, I mean, clearly there's a positive impact on your body as well. You know, once the euphoria is set off and that kind of the drug, the dopamine drug, that, you know, the adrenaline rush goes, but there's that good feeling. It's healthy to have those good feelings. By contrast, again, it's, you know, depression and so forth can hit people hard. But I don't want to,
So like I just want to say that usually all these things, this is my disclaimer here.
Yeah.
that all these things that we're talking about today are just for a person who is dealing with some procrastination issues, with some lack of self-confidence, right? If you are listening to us today and you're dealing with depression, it will be better just to consult with a professional.
Oh no, but by contrast, I said my point I wanted to make is there's that healthy side of it. But if you are at that level, you know, digging down deep and finding something to distract, and I don't know if you know, just finding that something to distract from the things that are bringing you down, and you deep dive into whatever it is. In this case, you're swimming. Maybe it'll take your mind off. I'm not saying that's a solution. I'm saying that it can help. And it maybe is self-confidence. Sometimes those things, you know, we were driving just the other day and so feeling bad for people that are homeless. You go, you know, and I said, it's not enough to just, I was just saying this to, you know, as I said to my daughter, I said, it's not enough to just go and say, there's my solution for you. There's a deeper root to that. It goes back. You'd have to go back and to help a solution for them that's specific to them, not my solution.
Right.
So it's one thing for whoever to say, you should do this or that. Doesn't always work for everyone.
Right. No, that's true. So back to this. So
what sorry, are the... I get distracted.
It's okay. But it's just what we were saying just before, right? Like doing hard things can help you grow as a person.
Yes.
And I love this one because growth is one of my top values. And there's nothing more fulfilling in life than growth. By expanding the knowledge of yourself, of the people around you, of the world, you'll grow as a person, right? And there are times when we will struggle at certain tasks, whether it is at work or at sports or a school or personal relationships. But if we persist and work through it, it creates progress. And after you have struggled, there's always growth. And growth makes us stronger, more competent, and more confident. So one good reason to do hard things is that by doing them, they begin to feel easier. What we were saying right before, not because they're actually easier, but because by doing them, you become more adapted at doing them. And then you can crush them. So choosing to do what's difficult makes us stronger to face difficult things. Sounds rhetorical, but it is the way it is, right? Like I'm thinking, it reminds me of something I was reading the other day. I can't remember the author, but he said something along the lines of, we are frequently advised to take the path of least resistance. But like in weightlifting, it is resistance that makes us stronger.
Right.
Right. So think about you doing this podcast, Alan. What is our episode today? Like 300 and.
Well, for the benefit of the two listeners, it's episode number 395.
95, started, right?
So we're nearly 400. But it's not, you know, only Calgary Business Podcast, because you and I started this as a series to help, you know, a segment of whoever lists of this, a subsegment of my listeners. But yeah, it took number one. To 100 when then it took COVID to change. So I had to, you know, it's constantly changed. I've done multiple different,
So, but how confident were you? Remember your first episode? You remember the first time you did your first podcast? And were you as confident as you are today? Because you've been doing this 395 times already.
Well, I wouldn't. So my confidence was there, but my competence was way on the level of, like I didn't know what I didn't know. And it took,
So you have grown by doing this.
yeah, absolutely. Like it's just the confidence to do something new because I have competence. I think 75, I went to students at Bow Valley College, right? It was 70, maybe it's 77. I don't know the number exactly. And I had to give a, about podcasting because that was there. That was pre-COVID, by the way. And but yeah, I think there's something to this. Like your confidence changes, your competence shifts, and you just it's not a snowball because there's a lot of snow outside, but it certainly does build. I love that.
Right, so that's my proof. My you prove my first point. Doing
Proof in the
that face
pudding.
as a person, right? So the second point here is that doing hard things can also help you build determination and develop focus. So doing difficult thing raises the bar in your own life. Doing hard things consistently and seeing them through to the end
Yeah.
will strengthen your mind and determination. And the more determined you are, the more equipped you are to get through difficult situations and stay disciplined.
Well, build your tools, like the toolkit. If you think
Exactly.
of like a doctor, right? If they don't they ha why they have such a, and I'm just thinking just right off the spot, but their toolkit builds as they go, the more cases they see, and that's why they have that residency period where they get exposed to a lot. I'm just giving the doctor because it I don't know why, because you're Dr. V, but it's literally their toolkit builds, right? Years of experience they build. And so back to my podcast analogy, I get more tools and my frame of reference is episode one. We were sitting inside Gord's running store, put my phone on a chair, and we just talked to the phone, right? And I was like, I didn't, I wasn't really engaging. This Zoom makes it so much more, so much better. And as you've known, I've seen your little creativity. You've taken it to the level of you've taken Canva and you've snapshotted some of this, and you made that little those little speak speaking the speech with the
Waves.
speech in it, the speech waves. Yeah, so you've gotten creative. So yeah, I think it builds. It does. This is incredible. I love this discussion.
Right? So determination and focus is essential if you want to be successful in life and in your business. And it all comes from doing hard things.
Yeah.
When you come up to a difficult task in your life, you can stop and think, well, I have already been through A, B, C, and D, so I can surely make this. And that right there is self-confidence.
That's good. I mean, you're bringing it to, you're building this as well. Like this is, I mean, I like the way we've approached this because you're building how people can, can grow their self-confidence. Not just, all right, this is what you need to do. It's not even a preachy. To me, it's not preachy. It's just a, it's common. It's going to lead to something. And then we have to find another topic. But I think I like this approach.
Yeah, look, doing hard things also, that's a third point, reminds you that you are in charge. Because when you choose to do tough things to improve the quality of your life and
Yeah.
you become comfortable in those uncomfortable situations, you take on the project or do the task or go for that client that is out of your league. Imagine how would you feel if you go for a prospective client and who is a long shot and you succeed, right? You'll be reminded that you're in charge and that you get things done. So I'm just saying that sometimes as business owners, we forget that, right? We forget that when you accomplish difficult tasks regularly, you gain this sense of accomplishment. When you overcome obstacles and situations and you
Yeah.
come out on the other side, not only you're more resilient, but you're also building your self-confidence in knowing that if life gets tough, you'll be equipped to handle whatever comes your way.
Can we unpack this that you are in charge? And I want to be, just is in and can you any if you can some practical side of it because it.
Yes. So like you are in charge of what I'm by that's the point. Like when I'm saying that you're in charge is basically that something that might be so obvious, but sometimes we forget that we're in charge of our own life, that we're in charge of our own decisions. That you can actually make the decision of taking action and actually take action and actually come the other side, right? That gets just reminds you like, oh, really? I can do this. I can take charge of my business. I mean, I
Yeah.
know we're doing it, but it's sometimes it's just a little shift in mentality, this mindset shift to remind you that you're you will always find a way to get the job done and stay focused, you know? Like it's almost like you will always find a way to stay calm in the midst and storm, because you're in charge of your decisions and your actions.
Well, that, I like that, because it's kind of, I guess, but if you don't have this, let's just go back to the scenario. If you don't have all this sort of backlog building up, and to, when you get into that situation, when it's stressful, or maybe it's asking for a raise or taking on that project, if you don't have all this, you would self-doubt. That would lead to self-doubt that, yeah, I probably don't have the ability to take on this project, or I don't have, you know, that if you don't have, you know, so that's the, it's not the opposite, but it's part of being in charge. You don't have that self-doubt.
Exactly. But then again, as remember, I said this is a virtual circle. So now, by taking action, you can become more self-confidence. And this series that we're doing is all about practical advice to boost your self-confidence, right? So now let me give you three simple, I didn't say easy, I said simple, actions that will get you motivated to do hard things.
Okay.
So the first one is to identify a similar difficult situation that you have faced. Think about a challenge or an event that you have faced before.
Yeah.
And remind yourself how you were able to handle it. Ask yourself how are you equipped to handle this new situation? Bring a specific examples to mind, right? Whenever possible, focus on the end positive result you expect and the short-term nature of whatever pain you're facing at the moment, whatever uncomfortable situation you're facing in the moment, just as short-term. Remind yourself that it's short-term because there will be a result. So and remembering previous accomplishment is really a great way to get you motivated.
Well, this oftentimes news can be, you know, news can be depressed. News can get people down. It can put doubt in your, you know, I can think of news for the last 3 years. I mean, it started with COVID, and it started with the presidential election in the U.S. And then this, you know, then there's there's always something in the global macro things that bring people down. And so I'm just, do you think, can you, do you have an advice on that one? Maybe it's not advice, but some suggestions maybe. Because right there, past challenges, but then this happened. Past challenges, then this happened.
Right. So it's, you have to, it depends. I guess it's just so difficult to just give a suggestion just like that. Like when it's basically, if you feel that news are getting you down, maybe you need to take a break.
Yeah. Well, that,
right.
That
and
is...
do something else. Maybe just go for a run and listen to some music. I'm not saying that you just become like, you know, isolated from the world, but if it's really taking you down and you're feeling it, like maybe it's time to take a break.
Well, I just had on my prior guest, Daniel McMillan, one of his colleagues, Dave Ponak, I get it wrong, but over at Assured Psychology, said during COVID, we were psychologists, you know, talking through clients and helping them with problems, but COVID hit and we ourselves had the issues. People came to us, what do we do? And like, I don't know what, you know, it's kind of like they had to think what to do. They themselves were always given advice. I had during COVID, I had several CEOs or others who worked with, you know, I'm thinking, you know, they had people coming to them what to do, because normally the CEOs, it was a dialogue back and forth, but this was a case where COVID hit and they didn't even know, major CEOs didn't know what to do. So I don't mean to put you on the spot. I'm just thinking there are even the best of the best have
yes,
challenges.
Of course. That's why I'm giving different options, right? Because
yeah.
This one might not work for you. You might tell me, you know what, I tried that and didn't work for me. Okay,
yeah.
Then let's move on to the next one. Find your mantra. And by mantra, I mean these positive phrases that you have to use as often as necessary to repeat yourself, like this positive self-talk. So my favorite mantra is just focus on the next step.
Yeah.
Like this, just, you don't see more. You focus on this, focus on this step. Just in this step that you're doing on the next step. Focus on this step.
You must have spent a lot of time with some people, because I don't mean as a psych, it's almost like you're a psychologist as well. And there's a point where I think you need to see someone else. But like I really, you must hold, do you hold their, I don't mean hold virtually holding their hand and say, hey, you know what I mean? You must get on, they must call you. Are you open on the weekends and nights?
No, I do. My clients do have a, like an SOS call when they need something like that, right? Like
yeah.
a the ones that are working one-on-one with me. But no, that's the whole point, right? I want to teach people how to fish, so not to give them the fish. So I am giving them these tools. And
yeah.
Today we're just sharing this because it's a podcast, right? But when people are working with me, we go on exercises specifically targeted to their situation. Like, what is, are you struggling with this? Like, which is the one of those options that we have, the one that works best for you?
Yeah.
And they, we go from there, right? Like for some people, another mantra will be, all you have to do is finish. Just focus. But it's basically just going back to being on the present. All these mantras is like, take you back to the present moment,
yeah.
instead of being, you know, in this anxious future of, I don't know what's going to happen, or just dwelling in the past. Just complete that task. Just focus on completing this task. So that will be the second one. Just try to keep calm, right? And eventually things, just focus on the present, use a mantra. The mantra is just a tool to bring you back to the present and that activity that you're doing at that moment.
I wanted to just let my listeners know that Dr. V, this is not, she's not going to give you a fish. You're not going to feed you. Do not expect to go to her office and get fed. She will tell you to bring a box full of recipes and spices. No,
yeah, so you'll know how to fish. It's good, right? Because that's what you want. You want people to be able to use these tools and then bring them to everything they do. And then eventually they will integrate them as you know how habits start, right? Like you start by doing it very consciously, and then eventually it becomes part of your personality and you are that person. So that's the whole point.
I remember that just brought back to my days of studying about university and for the chartered accounting exam. There was something someone sent me that was like, actions become thoughts, become, you know, it was like a arrows to three. I think a three or four. I'd like to get that quote, because it just brought me to that, you know, actions become thoughts become, you know, the habits. So it's informing habits, right?
Thoughts become actually, yeah, I know what you're saying. And then actions is a habit, and then the habit is a new person.
Yeah.
Right. So that's it. So, and then I have a third suggestion. When a situation is really hard, use the 5-second rule. Have you heard about this, the Mel Robbins 5-second rule?
I may have, but maybe in a different. So really,
well, let me tell you a little bit about that. I like this one. This is Mel Robbins' technique that you can find in more detail in her book, The 5-Second Rule, which I recommend. But she tells the story that she had a chronic habit of hitting the snooze button every day, every morning, right? Snooze button, basically because her life was going downhill and she was not looking forward to getting up. But so she wasn't into this chronic habit until one morning, she did something different. When her alarm went off, she thought back to the previous night when she saw a NASA space shuttle lifting off, and she decided to silently count herself 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And after one, she launched herself out of bed.
Nice.
Right? It's like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah.
And after that, every time that she wanted to do something that she found herself putting off, she will count down.
Brilliant.
And then just start doing it.
Simple.
And that's how she discovered the 5-second rule.
It's simple, but brilliant.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's easy, right? I guess it's simple, not easy, simple. And then, so Robin's core message is that if you have an impulse to act on a goal, you must physically move within 5 seconds or your brain will kill that idea. So the 5-second rule is a self-management technique, right? So which is what we were talking before. Self-management is the goal.
Yeah.
And it states that from the second you have an idea, you have 5 seconds to take action. And by that, I mean to actually start physically moving, right? Otherwise, it's gone.
Yeah.
And in other words, you have 5 seconds before objections prevent you from taking action. And by objections, I mean excuses, overwhelm, anything you will do to take yourself to talk yourself out of it. And it might
that's
people,
easy, yeah.
That's
that self. That's that self doubt. Oh, I don't need to. You know, it's too tired. I'm tired. I'm this. Like back to your 6:30, right? Yeah, I'm tired this morning. But I love that, because if you imagine get up, no, 5 seconds, I'm gone. You got to get to the to
Exactly.
this.
That was, I was just going to go back to my example, right, of going to the pool at 6:30 a.m. So what I have to do is, as soon as my alarm goes off, I have to get out of bed to go to the pool. I have 5 seconds to get to actually get out of bed and go to the pool. So if I take, say, 5 minutes to get out of bed, that's it, I'm done. Because the objections will start popping up on my head and will most likely convince me not to do it. And then eventually, if I actually think, say, okay, I'll do it, it might already be too late.
I mean, it is. It seems really simple, or not simple. It seems like so difficult, but it is. If it's simple.
I think it's
In its
simple, but not easy.
complexity, it's simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to overthink
So,
this. Give me 5 seconds. Let me overthink this. But literally, a lot of times people overthink it, right? And so this removes that from the equation to overthink really hard things. And you've talked about this earlier. The perception is really hard. Your fear. That could overcome that. It might depends on what the action is, but
right. And then you are creating this new habit, right? Like the same with the example of a potential client that is a long shot. If you want to take action to actually have a shot at getting that client, so you're thinking of making a call or sending an email, at the moment that idea pops into your head, you have to start either dialing or typing within 5 seconds. Otherwise, you will otherwise another idea will come and then you'll forget about that.
yeah.
You know that business idea that you really want to develop, as soon as the thought comes to mind, either you put it on a to-do list or you actually start doing it, right? Because I mean, you are doing something else, but when you are decided, okay, I'm going to get out of bed and do this, or I'm going to get out of the couch and really do this, that's the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 go, right? And then you move. And then she says, Mel Robbins says that this is the difference between being an autopilot and actually making a choice. And remember, making a decision to do actually hard things reminds you that you're in charge. So it takes us back to I'm in charge, I'm in an autopilot, I'm
That's
making my
right.
own
That's
decisions.
right. Right.
So next time you're thinking I should do this, but it feels uncomfortable, you might want to use the 5 second rule countdown.
Well, that's, you mentioned it a couple times about bringing to the per, you know, to the present.
Right.
And I've got a future podcast guest, part of the Assured Psychology team, and he literally says during stressful times, which would be hard times, bring yourself to the present, like if you're really under stress. And so I think you're onto something. Whether you're a psychologist or not, it's something that's crossing, over from other, where they're
It's
actually looking at
self-management,
this.
right?
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, like, teaching people how to fish, right? So self-management, that's what self-management is, right? So remember, every time you do something hard, you get stronger to face challenges in the future. Even when your growth and progress is not always that evident, rest assured that you're getting stronger, more focused and more determined.
That's
So now, no, go ahead.
That's incredible. It's not, it's a sport. So there's a lot of sports are back now because of COVID. But a book I read a few during COVID was about baseball, helping play with mental, the mental, coaching using, for elite athletes. And they used these techniques of being present, and baseball players was, and it was a book on baseball and how he coached elite athletes to be in the present, not the fear of the new batter coming up, but being in the present and finding something to ground them, literally, because they're in, baseball field on the ground, but they would
Right.
find that point to, and so they can see the pitch and forget the mind, racing that. And I'm like, I still, every time I watch baseball, like I haven't played baseball since I was a kid, but I watched it, the playoffs or whatever this year. And I always think of that, like those players are in the present, the ones that are successful, because it's hard to be in a batter and to be in a World Series or whatever, right? In the championship game, to be in the present. And I think some of these things you're talking about, that's different level. That's elite athletes. But the elite performer in the, as you said, that client you want to have, being in the present, wow, I think you're into something really important.
Yes, absolutely. I think the press being back to the present is just very important. It's part of some of the things that we have said today, right?
Yeah.
So now, before we finish, today.
You're going to give me a task. You're going to give me another task, aren't you?
You're going to, no, I want to just take you back to one of those things that you were saying that you were procrastinating. Do you think that that needle moved a little? You said you were in a two. Like, you think that if you use one of these techniques, you think it will move a little bit towards the yes, I want to do it. I feel more motivated.
I think it gets, you know, that's exactly it. There's you some simple actions, you've said it, will motivate me, and it moves it from, it can move it from a two, which is like I completely don't want to do it, to a seven or eight, where, hey, I could probably do this a lot
right.
easier.
Good, good. So we'll chat next time to see if we make it to the pool at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to apply these techniques this week because I have to walk my talk. So, and for our next episode, we will continue talking about what are the, why doing, well, the next topic will be like how, why self-confidence leads to success. And one of the reasons is because it gives you the ability to stand up for yourself. So for our next episode, if you can, and our listeners can think of a situation when you had a hard time standing up for yourself, right? Because we're going to be talking about how, why self-confidence gives you the ability to stand up for yourself. But okay. For now, remember that life is too short to stay in your comfort zone. So now I have a question for our listeners. What is one hard thing that you can commit to doing today? And I love if you'll share with me, you can send me a message from LinkedIn, you know, like Dr. Veronica De La Rosa, PhD.
Yeah.
And I'll be happy to chat with you. But I'll be so interested in seeing if people are committing to doing one thing, one step at a time, the one hard thing.
Okay, so which is one hard thing that you can commit to or will commit
yeah.
to?
I would love okay. to. I'd love if you can share. And then for next episode, just think about a situation where you had a hard time standing up for yourself.
That one's hard. That one's going to be harder, but I think one hard thing that you can commit to, that might be easier, but certainly, yeah. It's, you know, people like...
Well, I'm saying, I'm not putting you on the spot.
No,
I'm
but
saying,
I'm saying
anybody
but
who's listening to us.
It's back to the platitudes that people get as they grow up, you know, take the path of least resistance, stand up for yourself, be tough, put on a, you know, tough exterior. It's, you know, don't be afraid to push back. And there's so many, you know, those things that people grow up in life. So, yeah.
And we're trying to focus this series on business, right? Because that's the whole
yeah.
point of our podcast. And you might be thinking, why is waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to the pool has to do with my business? Well, I feel more focused. I feel more energized, right? And
yes.
I just can do better work at my business. So just think of one of those things that are hard to do and share with me.
Dr. V, thank you for today's episode. It's been fun. It's been, you know, bringing us to the hard, having those hard discussions, but I love the 5 second rule. I'm taking that with me. I'm going to take
Good.
That and put that in my toolbox, the 5 second rule. I'll think about where I can apply that.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Well, thanks once again for Dr. V's Coaching Corner. And we'll welcome to the next episode. We'll look for the next
see
episode.
See you in the next episode. Thank you for having me here.
My pleasure. Have a good night.
Bye. Good night to you too.
Thanks for listening to the Calgary Business Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Wozni, and the following episode is part of a special series titled Dr. V's Coaching Corner with executive mindset coaching founder, Dr. Veronica De La Rosa. In this series, Dr. V will seek to unpack her journey of being an entrepreneur, a lawyer, a negotiator, a professor, a mentor, and a coach. Built on the premise that you are your business, Dr. V's Coaching Corner will expand upon what business owners and entrepreneurs can do to use self-confidence and personal alignment as a competitive advantage for their business. Dr. V will also include some tips and tricks that will strengthen your self-confidence and propel your business forward. Before founding Executive Mindset Coaching, Dr. Veronica worked as a lawyer in the corporate sector with both non-governmental organizations and government entities, as well as in higher education institutions in Mexico, France, and Canada. After fighting for more than 25 years for gender equality in the legal trenches, Dr. Veronica founded Executive Mindset Coaching to continue empowering female entrepreneurs from the inside out by helping them to get rid of imposter syndrome and to transform a lack of confidence into fulfilled goals and dreams. In a nutshell, the primary purpose of Dr. V's work is to help women break the proverbial internal glass ceiling. I hope you enjoy the Dr. V's Coaching Corner series, whereby Dr. Veronica De La Rosa will seek to share practical business advice that is meant to benefit both small and medium-sized businesses in most industries and service sectors. I invite you to subscribe to the podcast from whatever app you access your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and even Amazon Music. I also invite you to leave a review. This will allow others to easily find the Calgary Business Podcast, including all episodes in the Dr. V's Coaching Corner series. Once again, thanks for listening and have a great day.